The book of Psalms can be considered the hymn book and prayer book of the Bible. The book of Psalms is the longest book in the Bible. Most of the hymns in our United Church of God hymnal are taken from the book of Psalms. There are 150 psalms composed by different authors over a long period of time, many of those authors really unknown. Most agree that King David is the author of most of the psalms. The Israelites collected and used these hymns and praises and prayers to worship God the same as we do today. Psalms were often quoted by Jesus Christ, particularly in his Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. Of all the psalms, Psalm 119 is the longest, with 176 verses. Psalm 119 is considered a psalm of wisdom and insight into the sacred law of God. I want to talk today about the benefits, about the beauty of Psalm 119. I consider this psalm one of my favorite psalms. It reads very easy. I love Psalm 23. I love Psalm 51. But Psalm 119 conveys like no other the significance of God's Word and God's law in our lives. It confirms over and over that we are blessed if we faithfully do what God commands in His Word. You know, God's Word establishes the standard, the foundation, the baseline for our beliefs and our, consequently, our actions. The Bible is the source that we go to understand God's will. So it's very good to focus on what's coming out of Psalm 119. For New Testament Christians, our greatest blessings are mostly of a spiritual nature. Not so much physical, but of a spiritual nature. To those who truly have God's Spirit, the blessings of God brings spiritual fruit into our lives, like love and joy and peace and the promise of life eternal. The only promise that we have of life eternal is from Scripture. Can be found nowhere else. So it's part of that foundation of going to the Word of God and understanding what life eternal is all about. The Holy Spirit doesn't necessarily bring the physical fruit of abundant crops and large flocks to us. And today we would say large paychecks, because most of us don't deal in crops and flocks of animals, although some may have some animals around the house on a farm. But even though the physical fruit isn't the main promise of God today, God may well bless us with physical prosperity. And so we have to be thankful. If we have an abundance, we have to give God credit for it. But God's interested today in the new covenant. Christians of today, of understanding spiritual promises, and the greatest promise and blessing that can come our way is life eternal. And so we have to look more on the spiritual essence of what God is revealing to us now, not like what God revealed to ancient Israel, which was mostly physical promises. For sure, though, we are physical. I mean, we're reminded of that every day, that we're weak, we're flesh, we have needs, physical needs. And God perfectly understands that. Yet he's called us to a spiritual journey. And as we journey this spiritual life toward a spiritual kingdom, we cannot always see it perfectly. We can only see it in part. Spending time in Psalms 119 helps us to honor God and His law. God's Word reveals God's character. If we want to know what God is like, we have to open the Scriptures and read them in honesty. Scholars do not agree as to who authored totally Psalms 119. It may have been David, but apparently the scholars cannot come to an agreement and confirm that. To me, though, I feel David's presence is all over Psalms 119. So I tend to personally, and this is just personally, it's not particularly what the church teaches or what is absolute truth, because I don't know, but I personally believe David is behind the verses in Psalm 119. Of course, God knows for sure. Psalm 119 makes special use of the Hebrew alphabet. Now, I'm not an expert in the Hebrew alphabet, but Psalm 119 presents to us what's called an alphabetic acrostic, in which the 176 verses of Psalms are divided into 22 stanzas or groups, one stanza for each letter of the Hebrew alphabet. The Hebrew alphabet has 22 letters. With each stanza is a subset of 8 verses, which begins with the same exact Hebrew letter assigned to that stanza. So each of the stanzas moves progressively through the Hebrew alphabet until all the letters are covered. So Psalm 119 has 22 stanzas of 8 verses each, producing a total of 176 verses. In some of your Bibles, a Hebrew letter is inserted at the heading just before each new stanza. And again, a stanza is a grouping of 8 verses. Now, one commentary that I read recently mentioned that there is an old tradition, and as traditions go, they're not absolute, they're not provable particularly, but an old tradition is that King David used Psalm 119 to help teach his son Solomon the alphabet. And not maybe just the alphabet in learning how to write and understand Hebrew, but also the alphabet of loving God's law, as we'll see. So let's turn now to Psalms 119, verse 1. Of course, we don't have time to read the whole chapter, but we'll highlight some of the verses of Psalm 119. So Psalms 119, verse 1, this first stanza or group of 8 verses begins with Aleph. Now again, I'm not experienced in Hebrew. Maybe some of you are. And for sure, I don't know how to pronounce all of these letters of the Hebrew alphabet. But Aleph, I believe, is how you would say this. Aleph, accent on that first syllable. It's spelled A-L-E-P-H. And again, it may be at the beginning of that chapter in chapter 1, or verse 1, I'm sorry, of that first stanza. This is the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Verse 1, blessed, or some translations would read it happy. Blessed or happy are the undefiled, the blameless, in the way. And that's the way of life that we're living if we're following God. Who walk in the law of the Lord. Verse 2, blessed or happy are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with the whole heart. You know, one thing that we need to do or be is wholehearted Christians. Not half-hearted, not marginal Christians who do not seek God daily. A wholehearted Christian seeks God every day, tries to find that time where we can put our mind into God's Word and let God talk to us. And as we read scriptures, that's what's happening. God is talking to us. Probably most Christians of the world give God an hour or so of devotion on their day of worship, and then mostly forget the rest of the week. And we cannot be like that. We have to focus on God and be wholehearted Christians. Verse 3. They, that is those who seek God, also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. Verse 4, you have commanded us to keep your precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. Then I would not be ashamed or put to shame when I look into all your commandments. Verse 7, I will praise you with the uprightness of heart, that is, having a pure heart before God, when I learn your righteous judgments. I will keep your statutes. Oh, do not forsake me utterly. Or another way of saying that is, God, don't abandon me. Don't forget me. We all desire God's presence in our life, even when we fall down. We all fall down. Again, we're flesh, we're weak. We're on a spiritual journey, though, to a spiritual kingdom. But we are weak and we fall down. And God won't abandon us if we are wholehearted Christians, trying the best to pick ourselves up and get back on track. Now, this ends the first stanza, the first 8 verses. Happiness is the outcome of those who walk and seek and keep God's law. One continual theme that we'll notice, or you would notice if you read through 1:19, is that of a living that we're to be living a life connected to God through his commandments and precepts. As we obey God, we link ourselves closer to him. We create this bond. We create a relationship. If we forget God's law, then it causes us to drift and unlink ourselves from God and be bonded closer to this world. So as we submit ourselves and connect ourselves to God's Word and His law, we have this good relationship, and God's Spirit can flow back and forth. But if we unlink ourselves and connect ourselves more to the world, then that bond is broken. God's Spirit cannot flow as easy. It takes a special heart and spirit to continually seek and obey God. It's not easy. Again, we don't know if David authored this psalm, but David's heart was mostly right before God. I think we know that. David wasn't perfect, but David had a good heart. David was willing to let God write his laws upon his or David's heart. And as part of our calling and repentance from dead works, we too must allow God to write his laws upon our hearts. The Spirit of God in us helps us to be wholehearted, helps us to have a heart like God's heart. Now let's jump to verse number 97 in Psalms 119. Of course, again, don't have time to go through the whole chapter. So we're going to jump. And what we're doing, we're jumping over quite a few of the Hebrew letters. Verse 97. I like this stanza, this group of eight verses here. This stanza begins with mem. I believe it's the way it's pronounced, M-E-M, the 13th letter of the Hebrew alphabet. So now we've jumped over the second through the 12th letters. We're on Hebrew letter 13 now. Verse 97, oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation, my thinking all the day. You know, this is a beautiful verse. It's quoted quite often. So we have to ask ourselves, do we think and meditate on God's law throughout the day? I've actually entitled this message. I didn't mention this earlier, but I've entitled this sermon message after this psalm here and this verse. Officially my title is Psalm 119, Oh How I Love Your Law. Verse 98, you, God, through your commandments make me wiser than my enemies. For they, that is God's commandments, are ever with me. Verse 99, I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies, your instructions are my meditation. You know, our past teachers educated us concerning mostly the physical things of life, of this world. God's instruction that we obtain from Scripture is of the deeper things of life, the spiritual things that lead to life eternal. Verse 100, I understand more than the ancients or the aged men of great knowledge. Simply knowing the basic principles of God's Word puts us higher than some of the great thinkers of the day, those who win awards, and because we can we're building and we have knowledge on the foundation that God created. I understand more than the ancients because I keep your precepts. I have restrained my feet from every evil way that I may keep your word. And to keep God's word, we do have to restrain ourselves. We have to corral ourselves in the flesh and not go that way, but stay on the lighted path. 102, I have not departed from your judgments, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. God's word is not a harsh tasting law, not a law of bitterness, if we understand it, but a law sweet and enjoyable to the taste. Through your precepts, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. This whole stanza is one that could be framed and hung on the wall. It's a very beautiful stanza of eight verses. And I can feel David reciting these words, expressing his love for God and God's law. You know, David had a very special relationship with God. David fell down again many times in life. God allowed Scripture to be written to expose and have David's life open for all of us to read. And David did some horrendous things. But David was very quick to repent, and he despised himself once he woke up to what he had really done. And David was always quick to return faithfully to serving God. I think we all have a very special affection for David. We admire his strength, his courage, his love, and his closeness to God. Putting the Psalms into our lives, reading them, understanding them, and putting them into our lives can help us become more like David, who was a man very close to God. So whoever did write the Psalm 119, and I still vote for David, we see a person who's in love with God as we read all of the Psalms. We see a heart that understands the beauty and the perfection of God's law. And God's law is perfect. If you just take the Ten Commandments, which is just a subset of God's total law, there's beauty there. And can you imagine how different this world would be if everyone could just obey one of those Ten Commandments? David had nothing but praise for God's precepts. They were sweeter than honey in his mouth. The Apostle Paul also understood God's law. Paul wrote some things that is hard to understand, and you have to really have your mind positioned right and understand the context of what he's saying. But in Romans chapter 7, verse 12, Paul writes, "Therefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy and just and good." And the context here is God's law, not man's law. Two verses later, Paul, that is in Romans 7, Paul calls the law spiritual. You know, the Ten Commandments can be viewed physically by the letter of the law. They can be viewed spiritually. They all have a spiritual application that supersedes the physical. We should, of course, attempt to obey both physical and spiritual. God acknowledged the grandeur of God's law, but he also acknowledged his struggle, his own struggle, and our struggle in overcoming the flesh and actively obeying and internalizing the righteous law of God. It's a struggle. It's probably the toughest struggle that Christians have, is submitting our carnal wills to God and placing his character, his laws into our lives and living it. I believe all of us here profess the excellence of God's way. We love God's law as we can understand it. But what really matters is, do we live that way? Do we put it into practice? You know, words are cheap. It's easy to say, I believe God's law, I love God's law. But do we live God's law? Do we subdue the flesh? And so the Spirit of life, God's Spirit in us, helping us win the race against the carnal flesh that we are in now. So let's continue on. Next stanza. Let's go to verse 105. Very next stanza here. This stanza group begins with the Hebrew letter nun. Nun. N-U-N, 14th letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Verse 105, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." You know, God's way brightens the path to follow, so we won't fall down. We won't misstep. God's law is a light to this dark world. Our journey is not always clear and obvious. We don't know what we will face tomorrow. The commandments, however, light up the path for us to follow. If we do not focus on God's law, then we won't have a lighted path in front of us. We'll have to use human reasoning and the reasoning of other men as to what path to follow. We must always, forever, walk along the lighted path of God's law. It gives us bearing. It gives us direction. And if we ever stray from the light, then for sure we'll be going back, most likely into a dark pathway. Verse 106, I have sworn and confirmed that I will keep your righteous judgments. I am afflicted, distressed very much. Revive me, O Lord, according to your word. Accept, I pray, the freewill offering of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me your judgments. My life is continually in my hand, or in danger, or at risk, yet I do not forget your law. So no matter what situation we're in life, we're obligated to remember God's law, and it will provide a lighted path for us. Verse 110, the wicked have laid a snare, a trap for me, yet I have not strayed from your precepts. Your testimonies I have taken as a heritage, something as a possession or something to be inherited, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. I have inclined my heart to perform your statutes forever to the very end. To the very end. Christ told his disciples in Matthew chapter 10, but he who endures to the end will be saved. So as we endure, then God's statutes will endure with us. They're always going to be there. They're never going to go away. We must commit ourselves to his statutes to the very end. Now, throughout Psalm 119, there are nine or so different terms, words, that are repeated over and over again that refer generally to the law or the Word of God. Nine or so terms. Every verse in Psalm 119, but three, all but three in this chapter, uses one or more of the following related terms. Either the word law, which I've already mentioned how many times, countless times already, testimonies, or ways, or precepts, or statutes, or commandments, or judgments, or word, or path. Those words are used in almost in all verses except three in Psalm 119. Psalm 119 honors God's word. It honors the observance of the law. Yet most of the world, even somewhat most of the Christian world, doesn't really honor God's law fully. They may honor it in part, but not fully. Verse 126, dropping down to 126. It is time for you to act, O Lord, for they have regarded your law as void, no longer valid. And how true that is today. I mean, this was written many centuries ago. This world does not love God's law. And we know that they may say that, but their actions tell us different. To us, or to them, that is, not to us, but to them, the law is mostly void. It's mostly obsolete. It's out of date. It's old fashioned. Well, no one does that anymore. That was Old Testament stuff. The very thing that David loved to meditate on is considered archaic and old covenant to most of the world today. It's my experience that to the degree that we love God's commandments, as David did, that will be the degree that we will be able to weather the spiritual storms that may yet come into our lives. To honor, to respect, to live God's law bonds us to God. God has to know where our hearts lie. He has to know what side of the fence we're on. He has to know how much we truly love His law. And of course, we know that keeping the law is not what saves us. You know, that's another whole sermon message. We know that keeping the law is not what saves us. The great act of God's grace does that. But keeping the law does show our love and respect for God. It prevents us from sinning, which is good. And it leads to a more blessed way of life. So there's good things that come out of the law. The law has not kept my eyes, you know, simply because of we think that it's going to save us, because it does not. Again, that's another heavy-duty subject which I can't get into right now. But our true enemy, Satan the devil, is still very active today. And God may very well allow him to bring trials our way to test us concerning God's law. He's done that in the past. And why would God not allow that yet ahead of us? God has to know where our heart is and our viewpoint of his law, because his law is his character. In verse 127, going down to 127, therefore I love your commandments more than gold. Yes, than fine gold. Now, how many of us would choose the law of God over fine gold? Okay, you don't have to raise your hands. Well, hopefully all of us. Hopefully we're to the point that we would prefer and choose God's law over fine gold. So I know some of you may have to think about that for a second, but you know, the price of gold is around $1,200 an ounce today. If the average man or woman on the street were offered 10 bars of fine gold, and I'm not sure how many ounces are in a bar, a typical bar, at $1,200 an ounce, 10 bars of gold or 10 sacred commandments to live by, well, I think we know that most people on the street would choose the gold. Yet, according to verse 127, David would not choose gold. And hopefully you and I would not choose gold over God's commandments. But see, that really brings it down to the flesh and the spirit, where our mind is focused. Let's go to a new stanza. This begins in verse 161 now. Verse 161. The Hebrew word here begins with shin. Shin. S-H-I-N. This is the 21st letter of the Hebrew alphabet. 21st letter. Verse 161, princes, rulers, powerful people persecute me without a cause, but my heart stands in awe of your word. I rejoice at your word as one who finds great treasure. God's word is a great treasure. I hate and abhor lying, but I love your law. Seven times a day I praise you because of your righteous judgments. Great peace have those who love your law, and nothing causes them to stumble. You know, most who give up their spiritual journey and who leave the church are those who decide to leave some portion of God's law. Something happens where that law begins to offend them and becomes a burden to them and confusing to them, and they can't, it didn't used to be that way, but now it is. They forget that God's law is also Christ's law, which he upheld. And that's a whole other subject in itself that I don't have time to go in, how Christ supported God's law. Verse 166, Lord, I hope for your salvation, and I do your commandments. My soul keeps your testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. I keep your precepts and your testimonies, for all my ways are before you. Or another way of saying that, my life is open before you. You know, nothing can be hid from God. Sometimes we think we can go and hide behind a door and be all by ourselves and nobody sees us. But there's always God that can see us. We can't hide even our, you know, we can't hide our desire or our lack of desire to obey God. God knows our hearts. But he continually tests our hearts to see how faithful we are. So how well do we obey even behind closed doors, when no one can see our actions or hear our words? You know, our life is an open book before God. He knows our heart. And let's go to the final and last stanza of Psalm 119. This will be down in verse 169, the very next verse. This stanza begins with the letter Tav. I believe that's how you pronounce it, Tav, T-A-V. It's the 22nd and last letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Verse 169, let my cry come before you, O Lord. Give me understanding according to your word. Let my supplication, my prayer, come before you. Deliver me according to your word. My lips shall utter praise, for you teach me your statutes. My tongue shall speak or sing of your word, for all your commandments are righteousness. This verse is often quoted to help define what is God's righteousness. It's all of his commandments. Verse 173, let your hand become my help, for I have chosen your precepts. I long for your salvation, O Lord, and your law is my delight. Let my soul live, and it shall praise you, and let your judgments help me. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant. And to add on to that, God, don't give up on me yet, for I do not forget your commandments. You know, we all have and we do continue to have our ups and downs in our Christian journey. We've all been like lost sheep at times. We've all been prodigal children at times, maybe for a few months, maybe for a few years. We've all experienced these low times in our relationship with God. David had his low times with God. And those are the times when David sinned, when he kind of separated himself from God and he went his own way. He pushed God's commandments to the aside. And he fell into a very dark path. And then he woke up. God, probably the sin that we all remember the most is Bathsheba and Uriah. And David killing Uriah. Horrible sin. And God sent his prophet to David to wake him up, to expose the sin. And it's recorded in the Bible for us to read and to be able to realize that David was a physical man that was weak. But yet God understood that, and that God, upon repentance, can restore us to a proper place in his church, in his kingdom, in his place of abode. But today we are here, you know, gathered on this seventh day of the week. We're in God's presence. We've not forgotten God's law, his truth, and God hasn't given up on us. He wants us to remain strong and part of his team. God's building a team and being shiny lights to this dark world. This is a very dark world, and it's going down morally, month by month. Yet God has chosen to call and choose a handful to be shining lights to the world to set an example. It's good to ask ourselves how much we do delight in God's law. Do we consider it? Do we meditate on it? Do we project our life into God's plan during the day? What do we love, truly love in this life? What gives us happiness? You know, generally the things we are attracted to, we love to do. It's easy to do the things we love because it's not a burden. It's fun. Think of all the things that you really like to do. And it's not a burden to do those things. You'll get up early. You'll stay up late to do those things because they're fun. It's what you really like to do. If we truly love this or that, we usually find the time to go do them, to go enjoy this or that. And we're all different, you know. So outside of the required things like, you know, we've all got to get up and make a living and go to work and or do this or do that. Where we spend our time, let me rephrase that. Where we spend our time reveals our heart as to what we really love before God. Christ said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 21, "For where your treasure is, what we value in life, what we prize, what we love to do, where our treasure is, there your heart will be also." So where is our heart? Is it close to God? Hopefully, yes, for all of us. We can always do better. We all, again, fall down. It's a struggle to balance all the things in life that we need and love to do. We know we need to do these things, but we love to do these things over here. So we're, you know, it's pretty easy to put our time over here on those things we love to do. As Christians, we know we should love one another and help one another and love our family, love God's ways of life. So how much do we love God's law? Christ died for us because we failed in times past to love his law enough. Enough. Sin is the breaking of God's law and God's precepts. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We have failed at times to love God's law enough. Enough. We all love God's law, but maybe not enough to keep us from sinning at times. We've all broken the commandments in spirit and in letter. But Christ has washed our sins clean. He came not to do away with the law, but to fulfill it, to magnify it, to create in us a heart more like David, a heart that loved God's law. If we love God to the max, perfectly, if our minds are saturated with him and his word, we would not sin at least as much. At least as much. Sin is, to perfectly be free of sin is very, very hard. Our mind would not want to sin if it's saturated with God, being that close to God. The closer we can get to God, our mind is going to be so unfocused from sinning that we don't want to sin. We sin because we have drifted and we do this or that more. We want to do this or that more than we want to obey God. We do the things we love to do. Our job is to love God more than other things and stay close to him. It sounds pretty simple, doesn't it? But it's hard. It's hard for us to fully implement that into our lives. You know, David had God's Spirit. And David was able to see that God's law was an extension of God's love. The Christian world struggles to fully understand this. They generally want to view the love of God and the law of God as opposing each other, opposite extremes. David's heart saw that love and law are really basically the same. To love is to keep the law. And obedience to law is showing God's love. Paul confirms this in Romans 13. You don't need to turn there, but love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. So love, and every time we say the word law, it's basically expressing itself as God's, the love of God. So in closing, Psalms 119 exemplifies the beauty and dignity of God's Word. God's Word, again, sets our standard. It's the foundation of our belief system. It's what we, what should be the basis of how we think and act, and nothing else. The words of men are just that. They're words and opinions. But Scripture is is God's life and instruction to us. All 176 verses of Psalm 119 encourage us to honor God's law, to implement God's way of love. They encourage us to humble ourselves before God as David did. The Psalms are full of praise and thanksgiving to our Creator. Never can we thank God enough for His calling and kindness. I don't think any of us can appreciate right now in the flesh what this opportunity that God has given us. We can't grasp it yet. Someday we will be able, when we're changed to spirit, we'll look back at this time and say, wow, what a blessing God gave us when He called us out of this world. As we read and esteem the Psalms, we glorify Jesus Christ, who today blesses us in our faithfulness and obedience to Him. The Psalms give us hope that our glory of salvation will someday come. So let's continue our spiritual journey by professing our love for God's commandments, and let's live what we read earlier back in verse 97. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day.